Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Welcome, everyone. It's good to be back. This is Pete here with your co-host, Keith, and we're coming to you from the KP Studios here at the Forum in Chandler. So, yeah, Keith, it's been a busy week. We've got, I got both kids starting baseball this weekend for the first time ever. So, 5-year-old, 8-year-olds, we're out there. They're enamored with the uniforms.
Are they going against each other?
No. But right now, it's all new, shiny objects, shiny bats.
Oh, man.
What color is my hat?
How far can I throw the ball?
I want to hit. I don't want to play in the field. I want
to
hit.
No one wants to play defense.
So, yeah. So, it's been fun. It's going to be a fun season, I think. But, yeah, it's been interesting trying to corral a bunch of little kids there.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, it sounds a lot like real estate. So we got a really, really cool topic today. I'm super excited about it. We've been getting questions and comments like crazy these last few weeks about this, something that's been on everybody's mind, especially when you get to the point where you're in that point of leadership, where you're starting to trying to contemplate what you want to do and what those next steps are. And also kind of follow what we did a little bit. And so we're here to chat about the 7 reasons why it makes more sense to start a real estate team than a brokerage.
Yeah.
And we're here to chat about them and give you some real substance when it comes to this, and some tangible things you can take away. You can put it on paper, you can understand it, and just truly dig into this business and why we did what we did, because we had the opportunity to go both ways and we started a real estate team, not a brokerage. And we're going to dig into why we did that a little bit and go over those main items.
Yeah. We get that question a lot. We've been getting it, I mean, for years, because if we look at it, you know, I mean, obviously you've got the big players out there, but a lot of the independent brokerages, boutique brokerages, et cetera, around the country, you know, our team is larger than them. And so a natural question from a lot of people is, well, how come you guys don't start a brokerage? Well, let's dive in and talk about why it makes sense.
The number one reason you want to start a team, or better yet, not handle the brokerage side of things, is brokerage overhead. It's the overhead. This is a massive, massive topic, and it comes up all the time. It's probably the number one most popular item is when you're contemplating that brokerage start, you got to go through all of those items that are going to cost money and time and management. And just in general, there's a ton of stuff that we have to go over and prepare and pay for in order to run an organization like a brokerage.
What kind of things are we talking about?
We're talking insurance. We're talking back-end system, structure, staffing. We're talking about accounting and record keeping. Basically, you have to have a lot more people running a lot more tasks.
You might have to have that office space that you got to do from scratch.
Yeah. And then if you're an independent and you're thinking about like, hey, I'm starting a brokerage, it's just going to be me and like 2 other people. Well, then that, if you're the broker and the DBA and the managing broker, you're going to wear like 12 different more hats right off the bat. So it's tough.
And part of this is not just the brokerage, I think, you know, with these overhead costs, but it seems like for some reason in this industry, and we touched about on this, you know, in the last show, people forget that this is a business and you've got to treat it like a business and run it like a business, like you would any other business. And, you know, the number one thing that stifles businesses out there, small businesses, when they're growing, is the capital, is having enough money to not only set everything up properly, but grow and keep things going. And if you're struggling with that right off the bat, then it's just, you know, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball and there's no reason to.
And it goes more into the team side of things as well. With the team, you don't really have a lot of that overhead. You can start ground zero day one with little to no overhead. I remember when we started,
but then
some years back,
yeah,
we had nothing. You know, like it was just you and I, and we were killing it and crushing it and selling a lot of real estate.
Yeah.
And we were able to start hiring agents day one,
right,
without all the back end logistics and all of the overhead that we needed. We were able to leverage a lot of that.
Now you get there because at this point, the overhead, yes, on our team has gotten big, but what it allowed us to get there. Yes. You don't have to. And
it
has allowed that growth to happen, that if you want to start putting those additional pieces in place, you can. And it's easier to do it at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, and it's even crazier to say that we've chatted with large broker owners that have massive companies and organizations, and they still give us that same issue that they continue to have, is like, I'm so tired of all this overhead, this, yeah, massive expense budget,
yep,
every single month. And, you know, at this point, our real estate team is bigger than most brokerages here in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And we have way less overhead and expenses than they do.
Right.
And that's a very, very common.
Yeah, because we're leveraging that big broker, which we'll get into later. So, yeah. But that's one that people, the last thing we'll say on that one is they underestimate it. And we see it with agents too, just in their general business. There's a lot of things that people don't think about, and they really underestimate what it's going to take. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. I'll just do this and do that. And it's like, okay, until you start getting into it.
It is massive. There's so many moving parts.
Yeah. And you know, trust me, like I said, we've been in the business a long time. It's one of the top things that people really underestimate.
Yes.
So
number two.
So here's another one. And this is big, you know, on my mind. It's something I talk about all the time. It's competition. So it's easier to compete. And here's what I mean. So one of the things that we point out all the time right now that a lot of realtors get and a lot don't is this industry is changing. It's evolving. We've seen it happen in so many industries this way, and we're seeing it now in real estate. There's big consolidation going on right now. There is a lot of big players that are in the business and continue to come in the business, big money competition that wasn't here before.
Absolutely. And they have such huge budgets, mm-hmm, that they can just push way harder than you can when you first start out.
Right.
They have unlimited resources most of the time. And something that always comes up to me when I think about this concept, if you can't beat them, you join them. Like, it's just a simple thing, right? And that's something that's really cool with the teams aspect of it. You kind of get the best of both worlds in that way, is you don't have to compete with the brokerage. You get to join the brokerage and leverage them. And again, we'll chat more about that later, but you don't have to compete against other major brokerages in your marketplace.
Right. Yeah. So you've instantly got, you know, some of that backing, some of that credibility, and you're going up against players in this industry. You know, you've got the Zillows of the world, you've got EXP, you've got, you know, Redfin's out there, Compass, Keller. You've got some players with massive budgets behind you. And so, you know, Keith, are you going to go ahead and, you know, start up your own software company and be like, hey, Microsoft, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
Like,
Apple, you know, watch out.
You know? Exactly.
Like, coming for you.
Like that's a tough competition. And, you know, it's stuff like that where you're, you know, there's some big players that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, yeah, it wasn't like this.
I have an actual streaming service at my house. If you come over, you can watch TV.
Yeah.
I create my own shows. So, I'm going to distribute it. It costs you $20 to get in.
Yeah. Or I could.
It's a monthly subscription. You can be a part of it. I'll stream it to your house. I just need your Wi-Fi password.
You got all the movies for me? You got everything on Disney?
I got a bunch of DVDs.
Okay. Well, I'll stick with my Netflix.
And that's exactly that concept, is you're going to be explaining that to agents, which gets us into our third topic, and that's recruiting.
Yep.
Okay. Recruiting is so much easier when you leverage those individuals and the brokerage and the leadership and the people that you have around you versus start from scratch. So it's that same concept. If you're that initial broker and you're starting that thing from scratch with a full brand, you're doing everything on the recruiting aspect. You have to fight
for, and you're doing it alone.
And you're brand new. There's no back-end credibility. You have to build that from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, you see these major brokerages, they've heard of them before. It starts the conversation, and it's easier for you to represent your team as a value proposition within something like a brokerage.
Not only that, but you've got somebody there in the brokers, in the recruiters at the brokerage who are also trying to grow this. Because remember, if your team is part of the brokerage, well, your team growing is also growing the brokerage.
Win-win.
So you're exactly, it's a win-win. You're working hand in hand. So part of the thing that really helped accelerate, you know, our team growth was the fact that we leaned on the brokerage and they were helping us. And so if you've got people that are coming in, some of them are looking for a team, you've got events that the brokerage might be doing or other things that they're doing where they're going out there and they're actively trying to recruit, you're actively trying to recruit, they're building something, you're building something, it becomes easier and snowballs as opposed to, like you said, you trying to push that giant rock up the hill by yourself and doing everything by yourself.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer in that sense. Our fundamental growth has been massive, leveraging partners and the brokers to help us do that. It's a big reason why we went from 5 agents to 50 plus agents in a matter of a year. Yep. If we were a brokerage, I don't know if we could have grown like that.
Yeah,
we leveraged so much of that.
Oh, I know
to
we
expand.
Couldn't.
So yeah, there's no way. Yeah. And we had so many more opportunities and referrals and growth as well. And then beyond that, the recognition. You want to talk about an immediate opportunity to show credibility. Well, the brokerage awards you for your success and what you're doing, and you get to display that as a third party award versus you rewarding your own self. There's a big difference with you saying I'm awesome versus someone else saying, wow, you guys are killing it. And people see that.
Yeah. And I'll say, and this works for our team too. So this is a little bit different, but along the same things, it's who you're around, you know, with this thing. So one of the things we always point out on our team is, surround yourself with other successful people, you know, because that's going to drive you and you're seeing what they're doing. You guys are working together. You're collaborating, you know, as our mentor Chuck likes to say all the time, iron sharpens iron. You know, if you're going at it alone, it's tough. You know, Michael Jordan, he used to want to compete against the best. He'd find who's the best one out there and go and play with him and work out with him because that's what's going to make you better. And so if you've got other people there that are doing things, other people pushing with you, it's just going to help you continue to get better and continue to make that happen.
And so that takes us a little bit to number 4 as well. And this has a little tie in to recruiting, but at a much larger scale. Mm-hmm. And when I say scale, I mean scalability. And that's number 4. It's massive.
Yeah. So scalability, you know, is something that I think people think about later on in the process, but you've got to, you know, when we're laying this out and we're starting the team, you're thinking about where am I going? Yep. You know, what is this going to look like? Not, you know, think about it 3 years in and go, oh man, I missed that thing and now I'm stuck. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. The good part with the brokerage and things in this industry is a lot of this stuff is already done for you, or people are doing it right now and go alongside them. So you don't have to have these massive cash outlays or try to build infrastructure from the ground up to expand, you know, to go into other markets, to go into other cities, or even to expand exactly where you are.
Yep.
You know, the infrastructure is there. The staff is there. The resources are there. You've got this stuff that you can just plug into and continue to expand instead of every time I need to expand, it's like, well, maybe I've got to go, you know, get another location, or maybe I've got to hire more staff, or I need to get a new system. If the brokerage is already doing that, and if you're a good brokerage, they're already doing this because, you know, one of our tenants is you're in growth mode. Yep. And so a good brokerage is thinking this way. They're scaling. They have these systems and processes and resources already in place so that you can continue to scale and you can use that.
And to bring up a kind of a common theme or a different topic of that. So I've been working on the software and I've been talking to developers quite a bit. And this is a really good example of what scalability really, really means. Mm-hmm. And when they're talking about what platform we want to build this on, okay? And I have multiple options. There's the quicker option where I can build it really quickly, but I know in 1 year, I'm going to have to rebuild it all from scratch so that I can scale it out. I can choose to do that, and it's going to be a pain down the road, or I choose the right platform and I leverage something that's already built out and bigger than myself. and then I can scale with it and grow at a much larger pace and not have to redo it every year, every 6 months. And so it's the same thing with your real estate team. If you start a team at a place that already has that infrastructure, you can massively grow it. We're looking to launch in over close to 5 states this year.
Yep.
And we would not, absolutely not be able to do such a massive growth without being a part of a brokerage that's going to help us do that.
Right. They're already there.
Yeah.
So we're finding the people, putting the pieces in place and going. And so it is allowing us to accelerate that growth. Like you said, it'd be otherwise, you know, that'd be insane to try to go, you know, 5 states in 1 year, but
start from scratch in every state.
Yeah.
No,
but this is allowing us to do that. Absolutely.
So completely switch gears here for item number 5. This one is,
this is one we hear from the current broker.
Yes. This is one that you don't understand until you're in the weeds, until you're there, until you've dealt with it. So number 5 is liability.
Liability.
And this is something that we hear a ton. And we've had really large conversations and really drawn out conversations with top brokerages and top broker owners here in the state. And I would say 99% of the time, this is their number one thing that is their pain point.
Yeah.
It always comes up because it's the extreme risk portion of this whole process. And when you run a real estate team, you don't have that same level of risk on any scale compared to what the broker has.
Yeah, because you're not going at it alone. And don't get us wrong, like we always say, that you're still responsible, obviously. And that's what, you know, our leadership is for in place at the team. But like I said, you're not going at it alone, and you have support of the brokerage, and they've got resources, and you've got the designated broker there. And if they, you know, need, you know, additional counsel or whatever, you've got people in place and systems in place that'll help you, as opposed to you taking this on. And as you start to grow, as we've heard from many broker owners here in the Valley, this becomes a bigger and bigger thing. And like you said, you don't really don't think about it unless you're in that position. But we know from talking to all these people that this is an issue.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the society we live in today, it's just something that comes up no matter what business you're in.
Yeah.
And so anytime there's a problem, they're looking at that broker. They're looking at that brokerage.
And you hit it. There's two different levels of this, right? So when you're first starting out, if you're starting out a brokerage and you're the DBA, like we talked about, and you're the managing broker, and it's really just you and, you know, maybe a spouse or just a couple agents that work with you, like we're talking a handful of people, you may run into this issue less because you have more handholding on their transactions. You're going to see less things come up. And so if something happens, that's really all on you at that point. You know, you did that. It's on you. You're going to have to struggle with it.
And if you're small, that could put you out of business.
It could. So you have to be extra cautious when you're small. And then the other hurdle comes in when you start to grow and become larger is now you don't have a handhold on every agent's business.
Right.
And you don't know what those agents are doing. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest concerns we've had is talking to a broker owner, specifically Chuck, and he talked about he's 900 plus agents at the brokerage at that time. There's probably 200 agents that do maybe one, maybe two deals a year with limited experience. And he can't see every single thing that happens on every single transaction.
Right.
He's not there for that. So when an issue pops up, they have to fight it after the fact and not prepare to avoid it beginning.
Right.
When you're a team leader, you now are not the only one there fighting. You have the broker there to help support your agent, and 100% of the blame doesn't end up falling on you.
Right. And it all starts, and just to be sure, like we talk about all the time, being responsible about it. You're starting off with that, the training, the excellent training, but it just, as you start to scale, like you said, you can't watch everyone all the time. You know, it's like having, you know, if you're like a teacher, you got a classroom with 5 kids versus a classroom with 45 kids. It's a lot easier to keep an eye on the 5 kids. Once you get to the 45, somebody, you know, little Johnny might be in the corner, you know, trying to set the room on fire, and you may not see it right away. It might start seeing that smoke before you realize something's happening.
Yeah. And then you realize the whole back wall is completely on fire, you know? And so, that's huge and that's important. And we've heard horror stories before, you know, with that. And I am thankful when we talk about running this team and the same conversation always comes up. Wow. Thank goodness I'm not the broker for this one. That's a conversation. It's every time because I would not want to be the broker when the house is on fire, you know? And so it's a huge part of running the team that, you know, we appreciate on a very regular basis.
So let's look at this next one, Keith, because I think this one's a big key one, especially has been for us.
Yeah. And I think part of it, number six, to give you guys concept is leverage. Okay. And so I think this one's more important because a lot of the ones we've been talking about has been kind of like the negatives. Now we're flipping the script a little bit to the massive positive of running a team and being able to leverage something else. And I think this is an extreme concept that you have to understand at the highest level to really understand the decision of running a team versus running a brokerage and which route you want to go. Because we were able to, just using us as a personal, you know, example, we were able to leverage something so much bigger than us to literally amplify us in every direction possible and provide our agents things we never could. It would be physically impossible for us to add that. And so with us being at eXp, one of those big ones is the revenue share and the stock purchases. We can't give stock of our own company outside of that to them because we aren't big enough to do so. But eXp, we were able to leverage them to do that at a very high high standard and allow our agents to inherit wealth that I don't think we ever could have helped them get without that brokerage.
Yeah, it's been amazing for a lot of the agents. And so leverage is key when you're looking at growth. It can't be overstated. This is how you're going to grow is you must leverage other systems and other resources that are there. And those start with being at the right brokerage. And so if they're in that growth mindset and you're all kind of pushing in the same direction, then this is stuff they're already working on. And it's honestly one of the things that attracted us to eXp where they've got a lot of this stuff in place because they get it. The leadership gets it. You're in growth mode. You're trying to grow, you know, your brokerage. You're trying to grow your team. And they've put, like you said, things in place that fix some of those issues that team owners have. So, you know, how do you work on retention? Well, if you've got agents that are making additional money, you know, ancillary money by revenue share or through the stock program, stock options or purchase, whatever it is, just by doing their regular business, that really helps. That's not provided by us. That's not coming from the team.
Yeah.
That's already in place with the brokerage. If they've already got a full marketing department where, you know, all this stuff is done for you and you can just pull it off and use it, that's a huge leverage point. If they've got massive amounts of training besides yours that you can tap into, that's another huge leverage point.
You have to fill the void of growth for agents. And so a big part of that is understanding that you can't be the only one that always trains them. Mm-hmm. They're going to get tired of what you're saying. It's impossible to fulfill.
And you don't know everything.
Need. You don't. Especially when you're first starting out and running a company, you don't know everything. But I tell you what, if you're a part of a brokerage that has hundreds of expert leaders that may be at that same level or skill with different expertise than you, then they can learn from everyone. And that is a massive, massive thing to be able to take advantage of. And that's true leverage at its finest.
Right. And you're not going to be the expert in everything. So no one will and no one ever will. And it'd be crazy to think otherwise. So if you've got somebody where they go, social media is this person's specialty, well, great. Send them all over there and leverage that. You know, you've got somebody that's great at open houses, leverage that, whatever it is. So there is a lot of, there's a lot of things there. And like we said, guys, you know, it's running a team. You know, having this industry overall has a large turnover ratio. And what do we say all the time, right? This business is, it's simple, but it's not easy, right? Yeah. This is not rocket science,
not
but
difficult.
This is not easy.
It's not difficult.
Yeah.
It just takes a lot of work.
It takes a lot of consistency, a lot of persistence. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, don't make it. And so that's tough on you as a team and tough on you as a small brokerage. But if your broker's behind you and you have resources there to leverage that are helping with this, helping with not only retention in multiple ways, helping train those agents up better, helping more exposure, helping you drive more business, and then helping you have other things in place that we've talked about where it's not, they're not wanting to leave because of things that not only your team has, but things the brokers put in place as well.
And I think I'm going to throw in a 6.5 here.
Okay.
Okay. because I know the 7's coming up and I'm excited about that one. But the 6.5, which ties into leverage a little bit here, is just the pure income portion of it, just the pure finance. Because I know we really haven't touched on it too much. We make significantly a lot more money as owners and leaders running a team and being able to cut a lot of that stuff out and leverage the brokerage than we would if we had to pay for everything and all the other items that we talked about down that thing or down the list of 7. Just the pure income side of it, by leveraging the brokerage, you're able to make so much more revenue. And you don't really know it until you're in the weeds with it. We've talked to broker owners who their margins are so small, small, like 5, 10, 15% sometimes. Just
less, less than that.
Sometimes less. And we're talking about just most minimal. Most of
them would kill for that. Yeah. 10 to 15. Are you kidding
me? Running the team, those margins are far beyond that. And you can scale far beyond that with staff and growth and structure. So that's been the biggest blessing of all from that. Is just being able to see that, you know, hindsight, you know, is 2020. And now we get to look back and say, wow, we made such a good decision going this route.
Yep. So let's touch on this last one. And this last one is an interesting one because this one is another, this is a big one that comes up. It comes up a lot because once you lay out everything else we've talked about and from a logical perspective, you go, okay, you know, you're going to have leverage. You're not going to have the overhead. You're this blah, blah, blah. You're going all the way through. All that makes sense. Sometimes, Keith, there's a big hang up. And sometimes, even though they see it and everything we say makes sense, there's a hang up. And what is that?
It's the ego. The ego. It's always what gets in the way. And so one of the big things for you and I, Pete, which number 7 being ego, we had to leave that at the door day one. Because we knew if we were going to build a successful company, we had to take ourselves out of it. And if we didn't take ourselves out of it, then the success would not be near as grand as it could be. And so every major company and corporation and just, you know, leadership opportunity, the people that let go of their ego, they grow in ways that are, you know, far different than anything anyone's ever seen. And they grow faster because they don't let themselves get in their own way.
Right.
And I think that's important.
And I think the difference too is there's a difference between branding and recognition because we brand KP Elite. We go with that recognition with KP Elite. You know, we've got our KP Elite gear on. That's our signs. But it doesn't have to be, it's not Keith's face on that sign. Nope. It's not Pete's face, you know, sitting up here in our marketing thing necessarily. And it is on some because we're the team. So, I mean, don't get me wrong on that. But the point is we're not driven by, and you can't be driven by, I need my name on that building.
This is a company ran by independent contractors. They have to feel and believe they own it. They're part of it. They believe in it. And so when you have a third party brand that they can buy into and believe that they're a part of it, and they can put their own face on the sign and their own face on those things, it grows them at a pace way stronger and way better than that.
And the key thing with this ego thing, I'm saying, of why you're leveraging that brokerage is, what do we always say in here? It's not going to be my way. It's going to be the best way. Absolutely. And if someone else has a better way to do it, that's what we're going with. Because ultimately, that growth and that success is the goal, not our, you know, personal recognition for that ego.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, guys, I really appreciate everybody jumping on with us today. This is an awesome topic. If you have questions about this, please reach out to us at questions@kpeliteaz.com. Huge opportunity. If you want one-on-one about your decision-making and what makes most sense for you, do you start a team or do you start a brokerage? Or maybe you're already in the weeds on one of those two and you want to kind of get a little coaching on that direction, reach out to us again, questions@kpeliteaz.com. Subscribe, guys. We got a lot of cool stuff coming. And jump on Instagram, follow us there. You're going to see a lot of content and a lot of videos there that's going to be training and growth at the KP Elite. So excited, guys, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you guys next time.